study this morning of the prayer that Jesus gave us. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 6, and this morning, some thoughts on verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, the God that we worship is a God of big things. The sun that's shining outside right now, He created. The moon that shines at night, He created, and myriads of stars that have been scattered throughout the cosmos. Some of these at distances so far away that it kind of boggles the mind. We can't even begin to comprehend what it means for a star to be billions of light years away when light travels at something like 286,000 miles a second, and one light year would be that number times the number of seconds in a year. And how can we begin to comprehend that a star is billions of light years out there? We can't even begin to grab that. Or a star like Betelgeuse in the constellation of Orion that is so large that if the Earth were placed at its center, the Sun, which is 93 million miles out, still would not break through the outer crust. And this is not by any means one of the largest stars either. God is a God of big things. But He's also, and I think this is even more comforting, He's also a God of little things. The God who created the sun, moon, and stars and scattered them across the vast expanse of outer space is the same God that causes a little drop of dew to form on the end of a blade of grass. The same God who makes every single snowflake of six sides and yet no two have ever been found in life. The God of little things who places every little piece of sand on an endless beach. And who assures you and me that even the very hairs of our head are all numbered. And this is where the comfort comes. And I think Jesus knows a lot about us here because usually it's not the big things that concern us every day. Oh, once in a while we have big things happen in our life, but usually it's the little things that take up our time and our energies and probably cause us the most anxiety. The screen door that has to be fixed, or the dishes that have to be washed before the next meal, or the spilled milk that has to be cleaned up, the assignment that has to be done for school the next day. A million and one little things that seem to jam us in all the time and make our life so busy. Well, the God who nailed His Son on the cross for our sins not only took care of the big thing, the sin problem, but He also takes care of all the little things. And so maybe it's not so surprising after all that right here, smack dab in the middle of the Lord's Prayer, we find a little crust of bread. Give us this day our daily bread. The word give is important. Goes directly contrary to this thought that some people have that the world owes me a living. No, the world doesn't owe me a living. And nor does God owe me anything. And even in the Garden of Eden before the fall and the sin, when God planted the trees there, God said to Adam, "Of every tree in the garden thou mayest freely eat." But this was not something that God owed Adam. It was a privilege. And the same thing is true of you and me. If we got what we deserve, we wouldn't have anything. We'd be like the rich man down in hell right now who doesn't even have a drop of water. All he has is the curses of God falling down upon him. And this is what you and I deserve. And so when the Lord tells us to pray, give us this day our daily bread, He's reminding us that we don't deserve any of these things. And the word daily bread here really means everything that we need on a daily basis to live. Not only the food, but the oxygen that we need to breathe, the clothes we need to wear. Everything that we have in order to exist. And this all comes to us as a gift. It's gross ingratitude then not to thank God for the gifts that we have. How many people in this world don't sit down to a good meal and just dig right in without even thanking God? This is what the rich man did. He He was dressed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day, but God was not even a part of his life. And he lived his whole life here on this earth in selfishness, never thanking God for anything, and now God takes it all away. Now he has absolutely nothing, and it's an eternal condition. Give, and thank God, God is a giving God. But look, notice how he gives. Give us this day our daily bread. The emphasis here is on the daily bread, isn't it? Give us this day, today, the daily bread that we need. And this is so like God. He very seldom gives us a whole loaf. But he takes that loaf of our bread and he breaks it into little pieces and gives it to us a piece at a time. And this goes directly contrary to the way we would like to have it done. At first, we hate this sort of a thing with a passion. Because by nature, we would rather have a little bit of what we would call security. We'd like to have a lot of loaves stashed on the shelf that's going to last us for a long time. And we'd like to have big numbers in our checking accounts and our savings accounts. By nature, that's the way we are. And we don't much like the uncomfortableness of living one day at a time and not even knowing what we're going to have the next day, if we're going to have anything. But this is the difference between faith and sight. And the fallacy of this whole thing, the way we would like it done, was pointed out by Jesus when he said, "The happiness of a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses." And some people are learning that the hard way, and we've kind of seen that too. If you have friends that are rather wealthy, you find out, the more you find out about them, the less happy a lot of them are. The number of boats that you have down on the shore, or the number of cars you have in your driveway, and the number of dollars you have in your savings account or checking account really don't make you happy. In fact, a lot of times they make men even more miserable. And then there are things that money can't buy. I knew a very wealthy man one time that was watching his son die because his son had swallowed a thermometer when they were taking his temperature, and the mercury was in his body and the thermometer was going to break, and all the money in the world wasn't going to get that out of him. And none of the physicians in Macross or Rochester could help. So the money was in the account all right, but the boy died. And the father was miserable. And we all know of things like that. There are things money simply cannot buy. And now, really, Jesus has it the right way. If we're talking about security, what greater security could we have than to be held in the hand of a heavenly Father who controls everything and promises us that we're always going to have everything that we need? This is the greatest security you possibly can have. Now, there have been times when God's children have been almost down and out. They've been down, but they've not been out. And God somehow or other provided for them on a day-by-day basis, sometimes using ways that you and I would never begin to dream of. Elijah, for example, we studied him not too long ago. He couldn't go shopping in the supermarkets because King Ahab was after his head. So God sent him out there by the brook Cherith. He said, "You can drink the water from the brook, and I've commanded the ravens to feed you." And, I mean, who had ever had this happen before? Ravens are unclean birds. But Elijah sat out there by the brook, and every morning and every evening the ravens came, and they gave him his daily bread. That's how God did it with him for a while. And then the brook dried up. And then God said, "Now I want you to go to Zarephath because I've got a widow there and I've commanded her to sustain you." Now the first thing we would think of is, well, there's some nice wealthy widow there that received a great inheritance and she's got plenty that she can share with the prophet. It wasn't that way. When he approached the outskirts of the city, he saw the widow, and what was she doing? She was out there gathering sticks. Not a whole bundle, she only needed two. She was going to make a little fire. She had one handful of meal left, and she was going to make a little cake for herself and her son. They were going to eat the last meal together, and then they were going to die. That was the game plan. It was that difficult. It had gotten that bad, down to literally the last handful of meal. And God commanded her to give that away. He said, give to me first, and then yourself and your son, with this promise that the meal will not fail. And remember, she was living in the middle of a 3.5-year drought, where for the whole 3.5 years there wasn't one drop of rain that fell, not one drop of dew on the whole land. The most difficult situation you could imagine. But she believed. She obeyed God, and for the better part of the 3.5 years, the prophet, the widow, and the son lived on that handful of meal. There was, in the gospel lesson today, a poor widow that had only 2 mites. That's all she had to her name. For some reason, she cast them into the treasury. Now, these things have already been done. This is the God you and I are worshiping. So we don't have to be afraid. These things have already been done. They're divinely recorded history. God's hand never falls short. Sometimes you wonder how it's going to happen, but it always does. Give us this day our daily bread. Sometimes in such odd ways, such odd circumstances. The things that you and I need to keep our existence. But we've got to remember something. You not only have a body that needs daily bread, but you've got a soul. Even more important. And when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, the greater part of what we're praying is for the spiritual blessings that God gives us. And Jesus talked about that. Talked about that in John chapter 6. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for that food which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. And then they started questioning about that. They said, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, Moses did not give you that bread from heaven. But my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which comes down from heaven and gives life unto the world. Then they said, Lord, give us this bread. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. Truly, truly, I say to you, he that believes on me has everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I will give to the life of the world. So really, both things are included here. We don't want to slight the physical. We've got to have food to eat, keep our bodies going. But the more important is the spiritual, and Jesus is referring to both in this prayer. Now, I used to wonder why it was that there was only one miracle that Jesus did that's recorded in all 4 Gospels, and it's not the one that you and I would think it would be. Now, if there's one miracle that I thought Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John would all have, it's the miracle of the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Now, here was a guy that had been dead for 4 days, his body starting to decay, and Jesus calls him from the grave. Matthew doesn't mention it, nor does Mark, nor does Luke. Only John. But there's one miracle that all 4 mention. And that's the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Had this great big crowd up there, more than 5,000 men, plus women and children. They weren't even counted in this number. And they'd been out there in the wilderness listening to Jesus preach. And now they had to have something to eat. Or they'd faint on the way home. And the disciples said, well, you know, send them away so that you get some. And Jesus said, well, you give them some. Well, what have you got? Well, there's a little boy here that's got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, but what are they amongst them? It's just not enough. So Jesus said, bring them to me. So they brought them to him. And the first thing he did was pray to God, bless these things. He started breaking, and he handed it out. And lo and behold, everybody had enough. They all ate to the full. And after that, there were 12 baskets of fragments remaining. And I used to wonder, you know, why did all 4 gospel writers put this in here? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now I'm starting to understand why. This is talking about daily bread, isn't it? It's a key thing for us. And sometimes when we don't have enough from the human side of things, what we have to do is bring them to Christ and see what He does with it. It's a story of your life and mine. He does this. He still does it today, even as He did back in those days. Now Jesus in John chapter 6 mentioned that manna that fell from heaven in the wilderness. And that's a very interesting thing. It's found in Exodus chapter 16. And this would, it'd be nice to study this in detail, because when you're studying about this manna that came down from heaven, you're really studying about Jesus Christ and the Word which the Holy Spirit has given us. And Jesus is called the Word. And what does He tell us about this manna? I'm going to read different verses in chapter 16. I'm going to start with verse 14. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. The manna then was very small. And then when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, "It is manna." For they knew not what it was. The manna was very small, and that's exactly what the Bible is. The Bible is a very small book. Probably any library that you can walk into has volumes a lot bigger than the Bible. In fact, the Bible is so small that with a minimum of effort, we can each read through it completely every single year if we just take a little time every day. It's that small. The manna also was a round thing, and I believe this is extremely significant. A circle is unbroken. It's like a pie. If you cut a piece and take it out, it breaks the circle, doesn't it? And the same way with the Bible, there are teachings here that are dependent upon each other. We're talking here about the whole counsel of God. And if we cut a piece out and take what we want and leave the rest, we're not going to have it all. It's not going to be good enough. This picking and choosing just simply does not work. We've got to have the whole counsel of God. Now, the picking and choosing is always the gimmick of the false prophets. They add to the Word of God or they take away from it. But they don't preach the whole counsel of God. They tell the people what the people want to hear, not what God wants them to hear. We can't play that game. Okay, Moses said to them, "This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which God has commanded." And God didn't make it like they were little birds and all they had to do was look up to heaven and open their mouths and He stuck it in like mother birds do their little ones in the nest. He said, "Gather of it every one according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons, taking every man for them which are in his tents." And the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less. Now, they didn't all gather the same, and there's probably a lot of different reasons for that. There's a lot of different reasons also for how much time you and I study Scripture. There was a time when I could study it 8-10 hours a day. That was my job. I didn't have to go punch a clock. And in some days I'd go to church in the morning and get in there and open the Bible and it'd be all day. You could never afford to spend that much time on it. You maybe had an hour, maybe a half hour, whatever. And now I haven't got that much time to do it anymore either. Some gathered more, some less. But here's what happened. When they did need it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing left over. He didn't have too much. And he that gathered little had no lack. The one that had gathered a whole lot didn't have too much, and the one that could only gather a little didn't lack anything. And I've come more and more to appreciate this thought. This is the way the Holy Spirit works. If you truly have only 15 minutes a day to give to the study of the Word, that may be true. But you give those 15 minutes. You've all got some time. And give God first fruits of your time. If you do that, the Holy Spirit guarantees that you're not going to lack anything. If you've got 3 hours to spend and you only spend 2 minutes, that's a different story. But to make use of the time you've got and to feed your soul with what's in Scripture and pray for the Holy Spirit, you will not lack. That's the promise. That's just the way it happened here. Now, there was another thing that happened. They gathered every man according to his eating, and Moses said, let no man leave it until the morning. And, you know, this is kind of human characteristic, too. Let's go out and work real hard today and then take the next 2 days off. We'll go and we'll gather a whole bunch of it, not only for today, but also for tomorrow and the next day, and then we'll go have a vacation. Well, that didn't work. That was against the command of God. Let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left it until the morning, and it bred worms and stunk. And Moses was angry with them, and they gathered it every morning, everyone according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. You had to get it right away, or you didn't get it. It was gone. That's the same way with the Word of God. Seek the Lord while he may be found, because he's not always available. And if you and I fritter this away, the time may come when we search from one end of the land to the other and we can't find the Word. There is such a thing as a spiritual famine. We've got one in our land right now. So there's a lot of teaching. We've scratched the surface here, but there's a lot of teaching about the Word of God in that manna that came down from heaven, which is a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ coming into our world to give us everything that we need. Now, this is always what God tells us. He'll give us everything we need. He'll satisfy our need, not our greed. We may not have all that we might want, but we might want a lot more than what we really need. Now, Jesus says, having food and